Welcome to the Seeds Uniting Church podcast. For more information and other resources, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday morning service.
Our Bible reading this morning comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. And I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, good morning. Great to see you. There's something really precious about us gathering together, something about us sharing life as a church, as a whole church, about us growing in maturity and faith and a shared expression of faith. Last week, Joe Chapman hosted and spoke about an experience that she'd had with a young person, XS. Her point was that in our giving, we are sharing in that ministry, and that while we might never meet that person, we will have a huge impact. And I really appreciated what Joe said. It was humbling and encouraging to hear at the same time. The point is that she went on to make that we are all family together. And I resonated strongly with that word. We are family, all of us together. What affects one part affects all parts. There's no more important part of our church's life than any other part. It is together that we are the body of Christ. That's why I'm delighted to share this next 3 weeks of sermon series with our XS Youth Ministry. So what you're hearing this morning is you are hearing what some have already heard or parts of already heard on Friday night. So I encourage adults, parents, if you have kids at XS, quiz them. Kids, young adults, if you have parents who are here, quiz them. And see if they're listening. Next year, I'm delighted to announce that we will share a large portion of our teaching with XS and indeed with our children's program, and are inviting all small groups to be part of this as well, and various expressions of the faith that we have. We will pick up a study and we will do that together as a church. Very significant time for us. We plan to cap or to go over the top of the broad theme of the whole of the scriptures. So look out for that. It's exciting, and we will do some good fun exploration together as a church. Tonight there is a change in how we will do, how we present. And so I'm not preaching tonight, but our interns will be giving their story, their testimony, their witness. So tonight we have Rob Cartridge speaking. And I encourage you to come and hear that story with Rob, and then on the next couple of weeks for the rest of our interns. It should be really exciting. We are breaking with tradition this morning, and I'm sure that the hardcore Methodists amongst us would have already noticed that it is the first Sunday of the month and we're not doing communion. Big deal. I've got a backdoor escape. There are some issues around water that we just don't have water at the moment, and we've decided that next week we'll do communion. So come prepared to receive the sacrament next week. But probably the first time in history that we've broken with that tradition. So bear with me. Have a look on the screen. I want to show you a clip. Thank you. Doesn't matter how old you are. It's pretty hard not to measure yourself against others. Seriously, who of us have not met a person who is not better looking than us, seems to be more popular, gets hold of things faster, achieves better grades in school than us? Sometimes others are just healthier, have a more gratifying job, are more successful, or seem to have more friends. They may have more possessions, more money, a newer car, or they just might seem to be happier. A friend of mine once quipped that nothing ages your car as quick as your neighbor's new one. In the book of 1 Samuel, there's a story about the up-and-coming King David, before he was king, who was a formidable soldier in the army of King Saul. The nation of Israel were hard-pressed on every side, and it was constant warfare to keep the neighbors at bay. All able-bodied men were used variously but to protect the lands, and into this mix, David shines as a soldier. The essence of what happens is that David distinguished himself in the battlefield. He quickly rises in the ranks of the king's army. And his feats are then celebrated in song. And they sang, Saul, the present king, had struck down his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. Though he was receiving a measure of praise, Saul considered the comparison to be demeaning beneath his status, and envy stirred in his heart. And so from there on, he harbored it in his heart towards David. He soon made the first of several attempts to kill the king, to kill David. And while this is an extreme example, all of us in this story can see what emanates from harboring envy and jealousy inside of us. I think our advertising companies, agencies, are very deliberate in stirring up this comparison, this jealousy, when it comes to promoting certain items for sale. Their propaganda is very cleverly devised to push into our insecurities, to trigger responses that emanate from within us. They want you to compare yourself, to see if you measure up, and to feel inadequate, to feel lesser than others. But here's the gospel for us today, my friends. Here is the truth that God shines into our world. You were made for more. You are not just a consumer. You're not there to find your meaning in what everybody else has. You were made to live into the purpose that God has for you, not to be a slave to the culture that's dictating the terms around you. So the passage that The eclectic passage that Lynn read out to us this morning comes from the book Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a book written by King Solomon containing some of his wisdom as he reflected on life, on the meaning of life, as he saw it displayed all around him. King Solomon has the reputation to be the smartest man alive. And in verse 4, we see his comments. Let me read them to you again. And I saw all the toil and all achievements spring from one's person, envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Basically, what he's saying is this: I've been watching people, and I've been watching that for the most part, what drives their behavior is a competitive edge. It's competition. They're looking over their shoulders at what everyone else is doing and taking their cue from them. So here's the thing. What this passage says to us is that Solomon saw people evaluating, determining their own meaning, their status in life, based on what they see other people doing around them. There were people around them that were busting their gut in order to keep up with others. To some extent, it's keeping up with the Joneses way before the Joneses were ever invented. It's funny that, in a strange way, this is not a modern phenomenon. It's been around for years. Whether it was 3,000 years ago when it was live issue for King Solomon, whether it's today or even tomorrow as we walk into a new day, Solomon makes the salient point that doing that sort of stuff, acting in that way, believing that we get the measure of our value from others, is like chasing after the wind. Friends, are you chasing after the wind? Are you taking your cue off others, how you measure up to the standard, the so-called standard of the world, what we see all around us? Are you fixated on what's going on around you so much so that it drives you to act in certain ways, to buy certain things, to believe in certain things, to want things? What a powerful metaphor that is, chasing after the wind. A few years ago, it was my 30th anniversary of leaving high school. I know you don't believe it. I can't be that old. It was actually year 10. I didn't do 11 or 12, which many of you would understand. You're not surprised at that. So year 10 was the end of my high school, and I was unable to go. There's not any late night flights from Launceston to Adelaide. And so the next day after the anniversary had run its course, I got on Facebook and I saw all the pictures. And you know, it's funny that all those cool kids at school who were just eating a bit, who, you know, just wore things with ease and who acted without a care in the world, those who were sort of on par with Fonzie, if you know who Fonzie is. Well, I looked at the guys in the photos and I'm like, man, they're missing a few hairs. And their chest seems to have slipped into other regions. And I refuse to make any comments on what the ladies look like. But suffice to say, that group of kids no longer look cool. And I thought, how wise is it for me to measure myself against that value standard? What is now what we are looking at as a cool thing, how long before that becomes just a passing phase? Temporal, gone. Solomon goes on in his writings about measuring up against those around us. Verse 7, he says this, "Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business." There's a key phrase there in that verse. He says, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. Here is a man who was amassing a great fortune to himself, but he had no one to share it with. Maybe, just maybe, he was so busy getting rich that he didn't have time, didn't have the energy to pursue, foster a relationship, so he remains alone. And it's this same aloneness, this aloneness caused by him getting wealthy, that he couldn't find any satisfaction, he couldn't find any meaning in all this. I feel like breaking into a song. I can't get no satisfaction. I try and I try and I try, but I can't get no satisfaction. I'll leave the music to Bailey. Can you see the great paradox here that we find ourselves in? We chase after meaning by pursuing, by finding a measuring stick that is unstable and that is moving again and again and again. And we do it, and it's bereft of meaning. It's like chasing after the wind. As Solomon says, this too is meaningless, a miserable business. You know, when you look at the whole of the Scripture, the New Testament's not silent on this either. And so the book of James, almost at the back of the Bible, has this to say in chapter 4 of James, verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you have on your own pleasures. What are you being told here? What's coming through here is that a life driven by envy, by wanting what others have, a life that is always looking at others with a green eye, is going nowhere. In fact, it's destructive. And there's really strong language that James uses here to provoke us into our thought pattern. Verse 1, what causes quarrels and fights amongst you? It's your desires. Verse 2, these desires lead us to kill. Harsh stuff. But such is the view of God on envy. Guess what? Any degenerative view towards another person, whether that is envious or a view that causes you to belittle yourself, to run yourself down, is never going to end in a good way. It's not going to work out well. The notes that we are sharing between Sundays and Excess that I read say this: trying to measure up only brings you down. So it's time for some honesty with ourselves. Do you take the value of your life by measuring against others? Are you measuring your success and achievement in life by those you see around you? Are you trying to have what others have, jealously eyeing off their lives, their loves, or their possessions? Are we chasing after the wind? Is it truly meaningless? Are you miserable? The bottom line for many of us is that we are casting around trying to find meaning, but we're looking in all the wrong places. Again, the notes that we're sharing between Excess and here makes a very salient point. It says, often we are trying to add an on the end of the personal adjectives. That is to say, we don't just want to be smart, we want to be smarter. We don't just want to be pretty, but prettier. We want to be stronger, funnier, wealthier, successfuler. I added that one in. This is not where meaning comes from. The question we need, the question that we have to, that we must, that is imperative that we ask ourselves is who defines our meaning? Who gives us our value? It's this question that the gospel exactly has the answer. It says to us that your value comes from God's perspective on you, a value that is etched in blood, that we remember every Easter. And every time you walk into this building, you see it there, proclaiming how much you're worth. It's a value that we will soon celebrate at Christmas as the most precious thing that God had, which came to earth, born of a woman, raised a man, then dying as our Savior. You see, you're not needing to measure up to your neighbor. You don't need to be concerned about your cousin. You don't need to mark yourself against your favorite hero or some sporting person or some media personality. God has already stated your worth, and he proclaims it loud and clear in his son, Jesus. That's what you're worth. That's your value. You're not an accident. You're not a failure. The Bible states God's mind in this in no uncertain terms. You are a long-awaited, wanted child. I know that some of us want to compare against others, because it's the only way we believe we can achieve significance. And Jesus says this to you, if that's you today, he says this: come to me, all who are labor and are weary, and I will give you rest. My friends, chasing after other things is a distraction to your life. It pulls you away from your enjoyment. It takes away your peace. It destroys your contentment. My friends, run back to Jesus. Here's my last sentence. Only he gives you worth. Only he tells you your intrinsic value. What is it? Your life is worth everything. Let me pray. We praise you, God. We praise you for the cross. We praise you for the way in which you spoke into our present circumstances, and you continue to do so. You sought us. All we have to do is say, here I am. I need your measuring stick in my life. I need your value to be displayed inside me. I need to understand who I am in your sight. Open us up to that, God. Open us up as individuals, but as a church. May all of us know the value that we have before you. Priceless, precious, sought after, loved, and wanted. And we thank you for that. May we translate it from a head knowledge to a heart attitude that we live every single day out of. In your name we pray. Amen.